Hi, this is Chris Pels from idevtech.com. In this video, we're going to learn how to build an AJAX-enabled user control that doesn't require you to link in the Microsoft AJAX library when you're building user control, yet the user control will still work inside an update panel on a Microsoft AJAX-enabled website. Before we look at the details on how we implemented the user control, let me fire up a sample web page here that has the user control on it so you can see what it looks like as a point of reference. It's set up to mimic the entry of flight information on a travel website, have a choice on the type of trip, the airport you're departing from, going to, as well as the departure and the return date. One thing to note here is that we're setting the departure and return date by default, and that is occurring in JavaScript, and you'll see the importance of that in a little bit when you look at the details of the user control. So now let's close out the browser and go take a look at how we created the user control. So let's look at the details of how we created our user control. First thing we did was create a class library project in our solution called AJAX Enable Control. Created in VB, could have created in C#. There's several components inside this class library project. The first one is the travelinfo.vb class. This is the class where we're creating the user interface for the control, as well as we have a little bit of AJAX related logic in there. There's companion travelinfo.js JavaScript class, which is embedded as a resource inside the assembly for our user control and sent down to the client. And then there's a script manager helper class, which contains several methods which allow us to access the Microsoft AJAX library functionality without having to reference and link in the AJAX library. And speaking of that, let me show all files here in our assembly project and look at the references, and you'll see we are referencing system, system.drawing, and system.web. We're not referencing system.web.extensions, which would be the Microsoft AJAX library. So now let's take a look at the travelinfo.vb class here. So let's open up travelinfo.vb, and as I said, this is the class where we implement most of the user interface for our control. And if we look here, we'll see that the class on line 19, travelinfo, is inheriting from the base control class in the .NET framework. And then we're overriding several methods in the base class to create our user control user interface. First one we're overriding is the create child controls method, and if we scroll down a bit here, we can see that what we're doing is programmatically implementing a number of HTML elements that make up our user interface. Let's just look at one of them here. Line 40, you can see we're creating a span tag, and the text of that span tag is the AJAX enable control. And if you remember back to the user control on our sample web page, that's the heading at the top of the user control that we saw on the page. Now the rest of the code here, as I scroll down, is the implementation of the rest of the user interface in the user control. One of the things that I find very helpful when I'm creating a user control programmatically that you might want to use is that I actually mock up the user control as an HTML or an ASPX page, and then I use that as a point of reference when I'm creating the user control programmatically. The next method that we override is the onPreRender event of the base control class. And in here, we're making several calls to methods in the script manager helper class that I mentioned. So let's take a look at the script manager helper class, and then we'll come back and look at these methods here, and they'll make a lot more sense when you see the details of these methods, how they're implemented, and what they do. So let's open up the script manager helper class here. And in this class, I want to point out a couple of the private variables that we're declaring at the top of the class before we look at the methods that we've implemented below. First, here on line 14 and 15, we're creating two instances of the method info class inside the reflection system.reflection class, one what we've called register client script resource method, and the other we've called register startup script method. Then we're implementing an instance of the property info class in reflection to represent a variable called enable script localization. So let's go down here and look at the initialize helper method, which is the first method inside the class. And inside this, as the name implies, we're initializing or doing some initialization for the class. And the first thing we're doing here on line 29 is really the key to the whole control and what we're doing, and that is that we're using reflection to get an instance of the script manager class inside the system.web.extensions assembly. And that is a class, the script manager class, is something that's required on any web page that uses the Microsoft AJAX functionality. Normally you would declare it declaratively using tags on the page, but in this case we're not using the library, the Microsoft AJAX library, directly, so we need to get an instance of that class somehow to call a few methods, and the way we do it is through reflection. So then, if we do have an instance of the script manager class here on line 32, what we're doing is we're getting the method information for a couple of methods inside the script manager class. First is called register client script resource. And notice that I'm naming my local variables in the same way, or to reflect the fact that these are the methods that they contain. And down here on line 43, we're getting the method information for the register startup script method. And then down here on line 49, we're getting the information for the enable script localization property. Once we have all those, just set a flag that we have properly initialized the methods, so when we go to access them later on, we know that everything's all set. So as we scroll down here, the first method that we have here after initialization is called register client script resource. And notice here that in the naming convention that I'm using, the name of the method mimics the name of the method in the script manager class, just for familiarity and convenience sake. So what we do inside this particular method is that if we do have the method information on line 70, then we're actually invoking the method from the method info object that we created using reflection up in the initialization of this the class. If we don't have the register client script resource method, meaning we didn't get the method information using reflection, then we're calling the client script object on the page and invoking the method in that way. And what this method does is it essentially registers, as the name implies, a piece of client script as a resource so that it can be used and managed by the script manager down on the client. The next method we have is called register startup script. And again, this is a script manager object method. And we're doing the same thing here. We're testing to see on line 95 whether or not we have the information from reflection for that method. If we are, we're invoking it on line 97. If we don't have that information down here on line 105, we're calling the same method on the client script. Just to point out here, on line 97, we're calling the method in the script manager, whereas in line 105, we're calling it in the standard client script object on the page, so that the call on line 105 is not part of the Microsoft AJAX library. It's a part of the inherent page in ASP.NET. So we'll scroll down here to our next method, or rather property. Is Microsoft AJAX available? And all this does is return that Boolean flag that we set up in the initialize helper method that tells us whether or not we were able to get an instance of the script manager class through reflection. And then on line 123, we've instituted a property called enable script localization, which mimics the property found in the script manager. And again, what we're doing here is we're returning the value from the property info enable underscore enable script localization that we got or set up during the initialization method. So that's it for the Script Manager Helper class. Let's go back now and look at the travelinfo.vb class and see where we're calling these methods. So back here in the travelinfo.vb class, you can see that on line 214 we're making a call to the register client script resource method and registering the travelinfo.js file here in the user control assembly. Essentially what this does is it tells the script manager that we have an embedded resource in the assembly called travelinfo.js that we want shipped down to the client so it's accessible on the client in the user control. And then on line 220 we're registering a startup script, and what this method does is you can put any chunk of script into the control in this case, and the script manager will send that piece of script down to the client, put it inside script tags, and then it'll be invoked when the control starts. And in this case we're calling the initialize method, which is in the JavaScript file, and you can see that down here on line 224. Down on line 227, something that is commented out that I put in here for your reference is that if you are doing any attaching of events inside your JavaScript, that what you need to do is dispose of those event handlers by adding another piece of startup script that is the calling of the dispose method down on the client, and in this case we're not attaching any event handlers in our JavaScript, so I've commented that out but left it in the sample code so that you can look at it in case you need to do that. So that's it for the travelinfo.vb. Let's go take a look at the JavaScript travelinfo file. So open up the travelinfo.js file, and in here we have several pieces of JavaScript. The first is that initialize method that we just saw over in travelinfo.vb, which is being registered as a startup script. And what we're doing here is this is where we're setting the two dates that we saw on the sample instance of the user control on the web page, which are the dates that you want to depart and the dates you want to return. And for convenience sake, what we're doing here for the user is on line 10 through 14 that we're setting those dates to the one date, the departure date is one date beyond the current date, and then the return date is 7 days later. And down here on line 16 through 20, I've commented out a sample of how you would attach an event handler to an DOM element if you needed to do that. Remember, that is related to the dispose event that I just talked about in travelinfo.vb. Line 24, we're just capturing the click event on the search for flights button, and in this case just displaying a simple method. One thing I should point out here is the use of the $get shortcut. This is a Microsoft Ajax library convention, and it's just an easy way to get at any element on a page rather than going document.getElementById. Down here on line 30 we have a utility function for formatting the data as we want it displayed in the text boxes. And then down on line 35 we have commented out a dispose method which we would be calling and detaching or removing the event handler from any event handlers that we've attached back up in the initialization method. Before we finish up with the travelinfo JavaScript file, there's two related things that I'd like to point out. One is that, as I mentioned early on, that we're embedding the JavaScript file inside the assembly. In order to do that, you need to do two different things. First is you need to go to the properties of the JavaScript file, and you need to indicate in the property that the build action is embedded resource. By default, this would be set to content rather than embedded resource. And the second thing that you need to do is to go over to the assemblyinfo.vb file. Remember, in order to see this, you need to turn on Show All Files up here, because if we turn it off, we don't see it. And we open up that assemblyinfo.vb file, And down here towards the bottom, we are adding a tag which indicates that we have a web resource called travelinfo.js. And notice that we're using the fully qualified name of this JavaScript file. AJAX-enabled control is the default namespace for the user control assembly. So we're prefixing that on travelinfo.js, so it's a fully qualified path. And then the second parameter is just that this is a JavaScript file. So you do those two things and your JavaScript file will be embedded inside your assembly. So we've covered all the different pieces of our AJAX-enabled control class library project. Let's see how we utilize this user control inside a web page that is Microsoft AJAX-enabled. First thing we need to do to use our user control in a website is to compile it. So I'll do that. Build the class library project here. Then we need to take the generated assembly down in the bin debug folder, AJAX-enabledControl.dll, and put a copy of that over on our website project. It needs to go in a bin folder in the website. If you don't have a bin folder, manually create it. Paste the assembly in there. We'll overwrite the existing copy that I had here to show you the demo web page in the beginning of the video. Now we're all set to go. Let's see how we place it on a web page. We'll open up default ESPX. There's two things you have to do here. One is to register it, and that's done, as you can see up here on line 3, by putting the namespace and assembly of AJAX-enabled control and then declaring a tag prefix, in this case sample, so that our user control is declared in a separate namespace here on the page. That's done down on line 14, where you can see the declaration of the instance of the TravelInfo user control. Also note that our user control is inside an update panel control declared on line 12, and that we also have a script manager control here on the page. And what I want to point out about the script manager control here on the page is this is not the same instance of the script manager control that we declared using reflection or created using reflection over in the script manager helper class in our user control. Those are two separate instances because our user control is operating separately of the standard script registration process that occurs on a page by doing it manually in the code in the script manager helper class. So let's fire up our sample web page again and take a quick look at it, and this time you should understand a lot more about where the different pieces are coming from. Most of the user interface elements you see on the page are generated in the travelinfo.vb class by programmatically creating them. Then we're populating both the departure and return dates in client-side JavaScript from the travelinfo.js class. And we use a special technique of creating an instance of the script manager class using reflection in the script manager helper.vb class in order to properly load or register and then subsequently have the script manager load the travelinfo.js class when the page loads. We also have an initialize method on the client-side JavaScript that actually populates the departure and return date in these two controls, and that initialization method is called because we put registered a startup script with a script manager also in the script manager helper.vb class. So that's a demonstration of how you create an AJAX-enabled control without linking in the Microsoft AJAX extensions to your user control. All of that is done using reflection to get at the proper objects and some of their methods so that you can register the scripts and then have the AJAX-based page inherently move the proper scripts down to the client and launch whatever methods are necessary. Hope you found this video informative. This is Chris Pels from idevtech.com. Thanks very much for your time.